New Perspectives Open Pitch presents Memoirs of a Little 'Un, a 10-part collection of heartwarming stories and reminiscences of growing up in rural England during the 60s by Chrissy Payne. Part 5, When a Young Man's Fancy.
Spring, when a young man's fancy turns to thoughts of love. So wrote the great Alfred Lord Tennyson, and who am I to quibble? As the youngest of 7 girls, I watched with great interest as a procession of young men came calling on my older sisters. My long-suffering father had given up on the prospect of having any influence over suitable boyfriends. It was fine when my eldest sister married in 1961, as her husband wore his hair short at the back and sides and dressed as though he frequented the same gents' outfitters as father. Even better, he walked around whistling Beethoven's 5th, the perfect son-in-law. But as the 1960s progressed, attitudes changed dramatically. University Challenge was screened at tea time in those days, and my sisters gather round, swooning over contestants who take their fancy. They aren't remotely interested in the dates of the 100-year war or the influence of the Bauhaus movement. They swoon, saying, "He looks just like Cat Stevens," or shout indignantly, "I want Magdalene to win. The other team look too nerdy." Father despairs. "It's a disgrace. Intelligent men. Look at that hair, Mother. Proper day's work and a damn good haircut is what they need." Thursday evenings were even worse. Father is relaxing in his favourite old armchair, captivated by the latest gadgetry presented by Raymond Baxter on Tomorrow's World. Then the Top of the Pops theme tune strikes up, and which is the signal for my sisters to pile into the room for their highlight of the week. Father jumps to his feet and leaves the room as quick as a flash, exclaiming, "I'm off to the White Lion." My sisters were cunning. If they had a new boyfriend whose appearance they knew Father would not approve of, they'd suggest suitable topics of conversation that they think might curry favour with him. Their questions go something like this. "Do you know anything about bell ringing? A full peal or half peal? The number of changes? What about body line? Should it have been banned?" If the response is a total blank to these suitable subjects, which more often than not it was, then a discussion on the merits of the spinners and the seekers would be bound to win Father over. In an attempt to cut down the continual stream of prospective boyfriends, Father was equally cunning. I return home from school one day to find our telephone has been moved from the hallway into our living room. My sisters look in horror at the sacred red object that links them with the joys and excitement of the outside world. I must explain that our telephone was an extension to the telephone at our town police station. I can still recall the number, 2626 extension 3, and Father was the county's detective sergeant. "Why's the phone been moved? I'm expecting calls from Annette, Beryl and Zoe this evening." My sister Valerie was aggrieved at this sudden change. "That's precisely why it's been moved," says Mother. "How can the station get in touch with your father if you girls are continually using it to rabbit on about hair colourants and false eyelashes?" It has the desired effect. It's 5:30 p.m. and we're just tucking into some poached eggs on toast when the phone rings. Valerie jumps to her feet, but Father abandons his eggs first, saying, "I'll get it." He picks up the receiver and in his deepest baritone voice, which he usually reserves for charging a suspect, simply says,
"Hi here."
The phone goes dead. Some of these ardent beaux fell by the wayside early on in their courtship with my sisters. Some lasted a bit longer, and several are still around today, as my brothers-in-law. All the chaps were very pleasant and well-mannered, and my memories of those days are a kaleidoscope of images. Vespa scooters with bits of fur dangling, EP records, very thin knitted ties, then very fat silk kipper ties, endless boxes of chocolates, and best of all, huge silk-padded greeting cards in a box. Whatever happened to those, I wonder? A chap just wasn't taken seriously, unless he sent a padded card that wouldn't fit through the letterbox. However, the path to true love never ran smooth, and my sisters could be fickle. A particular young man is very taken with my sister Sandy. He showers her with gifts, and we can all see this particular relationship is going nowhere. I'm telling him this evening, no point in dragging it out. Sandy has made her decision. Well, let him down gently, are the wise words from Mother. Sandy sits with her hands on her lap, looking much older than her years, her expression grave, and she resembles a queen about to abdicate rather than a call it a day with a lad from the bottom of the street. The doorbell rings, and like Sandy's lady-in-waiting, I answer it. It's impossible to see Tony at first. Then suddenly he cranes his neck to the side, and I'm speechless.
Hello, Littlin. What do you suppose Sandy will think of this?
To this day, it remains the most beautiful chocolate Easter egg I've ever seen. It was decorated with beautiful little iced flowers, sprays of edible violets, and dainty pale primroses. The whole confection was swathed in silk and sat in a wicker gondola basket that was so fashionable at the time. Forget Fabergé, this was the egg for me. My eyes dart towards Mother, and if eyes could speak, they would be saying, Mother, intervene. Don't let Sandy finish with Tony today. Just another week. Tony is ushered into the living room, just managing to get through the door with the egg. I dart the same look at Sandy. Well, perhaps a bit more pleading this time, as she sits stiffly, clearly unimpressed by the chocolate work of art. I am embarrassed to say that I and my other sisters and even my mum are now pressing ourselves up against the closed door, listening intently to see if there would be a change of heart. Jackie cups her hands and whispers,
I've seen that egg in Eindale's. It's 52 shillings and 11 pence.
Mother almost faints with the shock. I bet it's last year's stock, says Susie. It'll taste all fusty. With that, the living room door flew open, taking us all by surprise. Poor rejected Tony and the egg filled the doorway. I had neither the maturity or good grace to proffer the correct sentiment required in his hour of need. What's going to happen to the egg? I said. Tony doesn't say a word, but just plonks the egg in my now outstretched arms. Easter came and went, and the egg sat taking pride of place in the centre of our old mahogany chiffonier. It was just too beautiful to break. Eventually, we succumbed, and watching the egg shatter into a dozen fragments was as painful as dropping a priceless porcelain figurine. Well, here goes. We bite into the rich brown confection in unison. Susie is the first to comment.
Told you it would taste all fusty.
The end.
When a Young Man's Fancy by Chrissy Payne was performed by Juanita McMahon, with sound design by Adam P. McCready, supported using public funding from Arts Council England. It's produced by New Perspectives Theatre Company's Open Pitch, a unique community programme that showcases extraordinary stories from across the East Midlands.